Today we are looking at the last of three parts. It's a five-part series, but the last of three things that that God has instructed us through His Word on how we may glorify Him. And I hope this series has been edifying and challenging at the same time to all of us. Edifying in the sense that when we do this, we actually sense more of the presence of God. Challenging is because the glory of God does require sacrifice. And I hope that each and every one of us will take that challenge. Now, I know I have poured a lot of information on the issue of glorifying God over these past 5 weeks. It can become overwhelming, but hopefully the notes will help. And if you need any more further of the notes, just email me at forgivenlifechurch@gmail.com, and I can supply you with the notes. So that would help you, sort things out. I can be long-winded at times. I can speak fast at times. But I think this series of messages is, to me, one of the most important messages I have ever spoke upon. From the sacred text, the Bible gives us three ways to glorify God, as you recalled. The first way, of course, is we glorify God by offering to God. That's offering sacrifice to Him. The second way is to fear Him or tremble before Him. And the third way is to give glory. The third way by which we give glory to God is to rejoice before God or to have joy in God. That's taken from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 28 to 31. Nothing new. Something we've been looking at for the past 5 weeks. But the last one, we shouldn't neglect. The last one is also one of the essential part of glorifying God. It's also one of the essential part of a relationship with God. The last one is to be marked by joy. A Christian is to be marked by an amazing joy within our hearts, a radiant gladness that just spew out of us into every part of our life. To have great pleasure in God is what we're about. And to have great pleasure in God actually is glorifying God. See, God is not a hum-ho God. God is not a God by which we need to be stoic. God is a cheerful God. God is a joyful God. And as you read the scripture, you find out that God rejoices in many things. And likewise, as we are His child, we are His children, born of God, we now reflect the very character of God, which is love, which also is joy. That's how we glorify God. This joy produces in us an innate desire to share with others the object of our love. Does that make sense? See, when we have true joy about something, it creates in us this inborn desire that we have to share about that which we are totally joyful about. We saw that in our reading scripture today, right? Verse 31 of Chronicles 16. Let the heaven be glad and let the earth rejoice. And what's that result of being glad and rejoice? It states, and let them say among the nation, the Lord reigns. You see, when we have a joyous affection for someone, or for something for that matter, we cannot help but to talk about that all the time, right? I mean, I know what makes you happy. I know what makes you happy when I talk to you. Because that is what you talk about most of the time. When I talk to you, you keep on telling me about the same thing over and over again. I know that's what brings you the most joy. We cannot help but to do that. One of my friends, actually it was one of Don's friends, recently had a baby. And every time we see her, she always talks about her baby. Always. I mean, she keep on talking and talking. We just sit there and listen. You know, I'm mainly a listener. You know, so she said she can talk for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, nonstop without taking a breath about her baby. And once in a while, she take a breath, you kind of want to jump in there, but you know, you can't. That's all she talks about. One time, invited her over with a group of people. And, you know, she just had some time together. And she spent the whole time talking about her baby. And I remember Dawn, you know, knowing that not everyone there likes to talk about her baby, you know, trying to, you know, divert the conversation. When she took a breath, she reared the conversation somewhere else. But for some reason, this friend of hers always managed to find a way to navigate the conversation right back to her baby. Then we end up talking about her baby again. So you see, when you have joy about something and it's in your heart and it's in your mind, it will overflow into our speech, into our action. I mean, likewise, this year, you know, if you look at Dawn, I'm sorry for using her, if you look at Dawn, you know what brings her great joy? She and I received one of the greatest joy this year in our relationship, Charlie, right? I mean, Charlie came to life. She loves that dog. I mean, that dog brings her so much pleasure. She talks about him all the time. Everywhere she goes, she carries that dog. You gotta see her at home. Everywhere she goes, the dog's in her hand, walking around. She sits, work is on her lap. She goes up to the kitchen. She grabs that dog. You know, she even brought the dog to church a few times. I mean, that dog goes, she just loves that dog. You know, she goes to bed at night thinking about him. That's the last thing she thinks about. Not about me. It's about Charlie. She tucked that dog in, making sure he's comfortable. Tucked the, you know, because it's winter. Tucked a little, blanket. You know, making sure he's nice and comfortable. She wakes up, the first thing she says, you know, she communicates with me. Charlie. That's the first thing she says to me. It's not, hi, honey, good morning. No, it's Charlie. As in saying, honey, go take care of Charlie. Let him out. Yeah. That's what we do, right? That which brings us the greatest joy, we talk about all the time. So you see, when something or someone fills our heart with joy overflowing, it will reflect in our speech, it will reflect on our thoughts, and it will reflect in our action. And that's why joy is the third part in how we glorify God. We bring God the greatest glory when we find our joy in Him. When we are happy in God, it will spread out so that everyone will know. We will proclaim it. I note this, that we know we love God because our life is filled with joy for Him. And we know that we are full of joy for Him because it is heard in our speech and seen in our attitude. Let the heaven be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nation, the Lord reigns. That's why joy is so important. May I give you three thoughts on why we need joy? Three thoughts on why we need joy. Well, the first one you already know, number one, is that joy is needed to glorify God. Right? Joy is needed to glorify God. See, you and I cannot glorify God if we do not have joy in Him. Let me repeat that. You and I cannot glorify God if we don't have joy in Him. It's impossible to glorify God without joy. It is an impossibility. When we serve God, we must serve Him with joy. If we serve God, but we don't have joy, we are not serving God at all. As a matter of fact, we make it worse. If we serve God without joy, it's more of bringing a dishonor to Him. You know why? People see in our face, right? They see it in our speech. They see it in our action, how we really don't want to do this, but we're doing it. And how does that kind of reflect the God that we're serving? You see what I'm talking about? I want to ask you to turn to one scripture. It's Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47. It's the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47. It's all the way in the Old Testament, the fifth book in the Bible. Deuteronomy 28, 47. See, because we think that all we need to do is serve God. Doesn't matter how we feel about Him, just serve Him. And even at times, sometimes we invite people to serve God, but yet never look at the character of that individual to see if they really love God or really infatuated with God. But Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47 actually nails the coffin on our emotion toward God. See, in Deuteronomy 28, God is pronouncing blessing and curse, right? There's chapter 27, chapter 8, blessing, curse. Blessing if you do this, cursing if you do that. You see that in verse 45 too, right? Cursed because you're not obeying me, so on and so forth. But look at verse 47. God is now pronouncing a curse on the children of Israel. The reason? Listen to the words of the sacred text. You get this curse because you did not serve Yahweh your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart because of the abundance of all things. You get that? You got this curse upon you. You are serving me. I mean, they do make sacrifices off to the Lord and everything. But the problem is that in their service to God, they did not do it with joyfulness nor gladness of heart. And so God pronounced a curse upon them. I mean, God gave them abundance of things. It states right there in verse 27. He gave them many, many things. He gave them land. He gave them livestock. He gave them wealth. He gave them riches. He gave them an abundance of things. But for what purpose God gave these things to them? It is not to serve themselves, but it is to serve Him with joyfulness and gladness of heart. The result of not serving Him with joy, listen to the curse, verse 48. I'll read back to verse 47, 48. Because you did not serve Yahweh your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart because of the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom Yahweh will send against you in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and lacking everything. Do you hear the contrast? You see the contrast? Let me give you a loose rendering of what the pastor is saying. God is saying this. Here's my loose rendering. God's saying, I see your service. I see that you are serving me. But why the gloom and doom? Why the complaining and criticizing? Look around you. I gave you everything in abundance for you to serve me with joy and gladness of heart. But look at you. You look so solemn in your service. You're so miserable in your ministry. You know what? Random from God. You want to be solemn in your service? You want to be miserable in your ministry? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you over to your enemies. You can serve them in solemnness. You can serve them in misery if you want to serve in solemn and misery. I will take everything I give to you because you don't appreciate the abundance that I give you. I'll take everything and leave you nothing. That's my loose rendering. It's kind of a little bit rough, tough, but that is a loose rendering of, I believe, what God is saying there in those two verses. You see, we need joy if we want to glorify God. We need joy in our service. Our service to God must be filled with joy and must be filled with gladness of heart for God to take pleasure in our sacrifices. It's not the serving by itself. It's the serving with a joyful heart. Because we don't serve with a joyful heart, we actually bring shame to God because we demonstrate to God, to others, how we view God. He gives us more abundantly. The more we rejoice in serving Him, the more He gives us abundantly to serve Him with joy. Isn't that true? You know, when you give a gift to someone and they're like, oh, thank you. They really appreciate it. Oh, thank you so much. It makes you want to buy more things for them, right? And that's why I always say, oh, thank you so much. You know, I'm like, oh, you know, and I give you a hug. Oh, I love this. Because you see someone who's so joyful of what you give them that you want to give them more. But if you don't, if you're not joyful, like, what is this, huh? Oh, thanks. Or you kind of like shun away. It makes people don't want to give to you. because it robs them of the joy of giving. And that's the attitude that God has. God wants to give. God wants to give us plentiful so that we may take those things that God gives us and that we may serve Him with joy. Few question. How is your attitude when you serve God? How do you find yourself more joyful or more cheerful? That is more critical. Do you find yourself celebrating when you serve God or find yourself complaining when you serve Him? See, the only way that God can be glorified, I'm repeating this over and over again, is that we serve Him with a joyful and gladness of heart. That's how God is glorified. Not service alone, but how our heart is. Let me give you a second thought here. Why we need joy. We need joy to glorify God. Without joy, we cannot glorify God. That's number one. Number two, joy is the will of God. Joy is the will of God. That's why we need joy. It is God's will for you and it's God's will for me to be joyous. He wants us to be happy. Actually, happy is not a good word. He wants us to rejoice, to be joyful, to have a gladness of heart in the things that we do. He commands us, as a matter of fact, to be full of pleasure. We just read in our little reading today in John chapter 15, verse 8 through 11, where the Apostle John penned the words of Jesus, what Jesus taught him. It says in verse 8 of John chapter 15, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples." You've got to bear fruit so you prove to be my disciple so that you may glorify the Father. What is that fruit? Well, the fruit is specific in John. The fruit is love in chapter 15. But at the very end of that, verse 11, John penned these words of Jesus. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Jesus wants us to have fullness of joy. God wants us to be full of joy. And John the Apostle, the man who is beloved by Jesus, the man whom the Lord loves, as the scripture declares, heard the word of Jesus, recognized the heart of Jesus. Later, when John the Apostle penned his own epistles to the church, he wrote a very similar thing. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, listen to the words that he penned. He wrote, "And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." See, he recognized that's what Jesus wants, that's what God wants, us to be full of joy. And so now he writes to the church, to the believer, and tell them, "We write these things so that you may be full of joy." It is God's will that we have joy. Charles Spurgeon noted that God would have us rejoicing. Quote, "If we were not so, our text would not have been written." If God does not want us to have gladness of heart, the Apostle John would never have penned those words. Matter of fact, not only John said so, but the Apostle Paul also tells us that the will of God is for us to rejoice. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, the Apostle Paul wrote this: "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You ever want to know what the will of God is? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us, here's three wills of God. You want to please God by following His will? Here's three ways. Number one, God's will is for us to rejoice. That's verse 16. Number two, God's will for us is to pray. That's verse 17. And number three, God's will for us is to give thanks. That's verse 18. See, right there, God's will. To rejoice, to be joyful. And I must reemphasize that to not rejoice in God is a sin because we rob Him of His glory and violate His will. You know, I just thought about these kind of stuff, especially the will of God. Why would it not glorify God? I think about my wife, you know, you think about your spouse, right? And you know that every time you think about yourself, you cannot help but to talk about him or her, right? I do. I think about Donna, I cannot help but to talk about her, be gentle with her, you know? How would you feel when I start talking nasty about Don to you? Like when I'm there, I start, you know, oh, Don's making me do this again. And you know, I just got this sour look on my face. How do you think I feel about her? It's not a good little attitude, right? I mean, I could be there serving. I could be there, you know, last time she asked me, you know, her gas ran out in the morning. Hey, can you go get some gas? You know, like, oh, okay, I'll go get it. I'm like driving grumpily, filling up the gas can. Well, there you go. There's your car full of gas. It doesn't speak well. Matter of fact, Don probably looked at me and said, you know what, don't ever do that again. Don't get gas. I'll get my own gas. Because the way we do things in our heart reflects what we love. And therefore, without serving God joyfully, we actually are sinning against God. Let me give you a third thought here. Third, joy is infectious. Joy is infectious. Joy is contagious. You know, that's what Paul said when he wrote to the church of Thessalonians. Say, because of your faith and your love, you know, what you have toward God, what you are doing is spreading throughout all of Asia, all of Macedonia. They know you. Your faith and your love is so infectious. And that's what joy does. Many years ago, when I led a house church, you know, when I was like, you know, a little lad, there were two girls in that house church that were a comparison in contrast. One was gloomy. The other was always glad. You know, one had a sour face, and the other's face was always radiant because she's always smiled. You know, the one that was gloomy had nothing good to say. She always, when she talks, it's always negative. She always complained about her life. She always had problems in her life. Matter of fact, almost every single Saturday when we had this house show, she would come and she would tell me of her problem. Oh man, I got this problem. Oh man, I got that. Oh man. Then she would ask me for advice. And I would sit there and listen patient and I would give her advice. And once I finished talking to her, you know, giving advice, she would tell me, oh, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. No, of course not. But as I sit there doing my things, I overheard her when she went to another person. She tells her the exact same thing and asks for his advice. And after he talks to her and she talks to him, I would overhear her say, oh, don't tell anyone. And then she goes to talk to another person saying the exact same thing. She's just going around just being gloom because I think that's how she communicates with people. Because if you don't talk about negative things, there's nothing to talk about. But the other one is always happy. When you talk to her, she always laughs. She's always smiling. Guess who people hang around with? The happy one. I mean, you know, matter of fact, you get to the point when she comes, you kind of want to dodge. You know what I'm talking about? When she comes your way, you know she comes, you kind of want to dodge it. Because to be quite honestly, nobody wants to be around gloom and doom person all the time. I mean, I have so many problems in my life. That when I come to church, I want to be edified, uplifted, and serve God and be happy and joyous. I don't want to hang around people who remind me of my doom and gloom and my sadness. I don't want to be around those people all the time. You know, let me see. And don't get me wrong, there is a place for constructive criticism. And I enjoy constructive criticism. Because how can we improve ourselves if we don't have that constructive criticism? But not all the time. Some people just love drama. It exhausts me. They love to stir the pot. But normal people like you and me do not want to be around those people. Some churches, when you go to, it's more like a funeral than it is a feast. Is it not? Sometimes, you know, just observe them when you go to church. Not for given life. We're always full of joy. But when you go to like different churches, different Christian fellowship, you notice that you guys can talk, you know, having fun, laughing, and then someone pull out the Bible. Okay, let's have some Bible study. And all of a sudden, boom. just feel like just a funeral would just start happening. Yeah, we just started, you know, getting downcast and like, okay, and start getting quiet. See, that's not what pleased God. It is joy that becomes infectious. It is joy that attracts people to God. And that's why we need joy. We need joy because one, it glorifies God. Without joy, you can't glorify God. Two, we need joy because that's the will of God. And three, we need joy because joy is contagious. It is infectious. Knowing that God is glorified through my joy, acknowledging that the will of God for me is to rejoice always, and understanding that the gladness of heart is contagious, how do I cultivate this joy in my life? How do I have this virtue of joy emanated from me? May I give you three? Just three quick ones about the Bible teaches. And by the way, if you lack joy, this is what you need to do. These are the three things that you need to start putting in action. Number one, I rejoice when I praise Him. Do you guys know that? We rejoice and we have a joyful heart when we start praising Him. Psalm 71 verse 23 states that. It says, my lip will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. You get that? My lip shouts for joy when I sing praises for you. So if you're like always criticizing, always complaining, start praising Him. Because praise, remember, is one of the ways by which we glorify God, worship God, right? Hebrews chapter 13. Start singing praises. Start coming early to church and sing with us. You know, just so glad that everyone's here today. They're just singing. Just love hearing voices. It's just beautiful. One of the challenges, of course, listen, you know, if you don't like to sing, you know, kind of monotone, one of the things you can do is, you know, listen to worship music, start singing with that worship music. Believe, after a while, you start, you know, getting the tone. I mean, singing is a wonderful thing. Let me give you a second reason on how we can build a joyful heart. Second, I rejoice when I reflect on my salvation with God. I rejoice when I reflect on my salvation with God. Psalm 71 verse 23 states that. We read it earlier. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. Notice the second part. My soul also, which you have redeemed. Luke 10 verse 20 states this. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirit are subject to you, but rejoice that your name are written in heaven. When we reflect on the fact of the great salvation that we have, it makes us joyful. I know evangelists. You know, I have some friends who are evangelists, love to share the gospel with people. Those people who share the gospel, I have never ever seen them gloomy. I mean, after day in and day out, you share the gospel on what it means to be saved, and you share about your life, you think about your life, how God has saved you. How can you be gloom? I mean, recognize what you have in Him. So if you feel that yourself not having a joyful heart, reflect on your salvation. Reflect how He has saved you from your dead life and gave you a newness of life. That will bring joy. Let me give you a third way. I rejoice when I love my brother and sister. I rejoice when I love my brother and sister. Not when I serve them, when I love them. And love, of course, takes on an action of service. But you can serve someone without love them. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about love them to the point where it extends to our hands and our feet and we serve them. Love is that means. We read that today in our scripture reading, right? John chapter 15, verses 8 through 11. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciple. And what is that fruit? Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in His love. These things, talking about bearing fruit, being a disciple, loving. These things I have spoke to you, that my joy may be in you right? Abide in my love, let my love be in you. These things I have spoken so that my joy may be in you. You get the connection? And that your joy may be full. You forget, look at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. See, sometimes I feel that the reason we lack joy is because we don't love our brother and sister. Matter of fact, we replace love with envy. We replace love with jealousy. We replace love with covetousness. We're serving God, having a good time, and then we'll look at the brother and sister and say, what about them? You know, what about them? And then we forget the joyful service that we're doing for God, and now we become critical. But that's not love, you see. Love is we serve, and then when the other person gets blessed, we love them all the more, and we serve them all the more. I remember Pastor Paul and I met before we began Forgiven Life. And we're, you know, of course, we both he and I come with a certain background, right? But I remember what Pastor Paul said to me that was really a blessing to me. He said, you know what? My job is to make sure that you serve God to the fullness. In other words, when God uses you to your greatest ability, I'm not going to be jealous. I'm not going to covet you. I'm going to praise God. See, that's the Christian attitude, and that's joyfulness. So then when the brother or sister starts succeeding, doing well, it's all the more you praise and rejoice because God has blessed them. That's how you serve God. So three ways. You praise Him, you reflect on the salvation, and you love your brothers and sisters. Start working on those three, and believe me, we start having a little bit more joy in the heart. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you so much for teaching us your word and teaching us how we can be more joyful within our heart. And so we ask, Father God, that as we about to praise you and lift you up, that you will begin to fill our heart with joy. That you overflow our heart, Lord God, with gladness of heart. That we may be infectious, that we may be contagious. That the world, Father God, may know that you are God. And that we are so proud and pleased to be your children, honoring you as best as we can. So as we reflect upon you, Father God, as we remember you, Father God, so bridge us together. Purify us, Lord God, to serve you all the more. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Will you please stand with me?